verse, Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. What many consider the high peak of the Bible. One of the things we find throughout, and this is, this is a difficulty for a lot of Christians, particularly if you grew up in a Baptist-type church, that's either one or the other, right? Either know you're saved, right, or you know you're lost. All the things through scriptures, they also, New Testament, they deal with also false Christians who think they're saved, who really aren't. And that's a little bit tougher. Matter of fact, Paul, after going through writing the Corinthians one letter, then a letter he told them to tear up because it was a sorrowful letter, it probably was just ranting at that letter. Then the second Corinthians, and at the end of that, in the 13th chapter, says, you do know Jesus, don't you? But they weren't acting like it, were they? They were, they were involved with immorality. They were involved with taking each other to court. They were involved with misusing the sign gifts that the Lord had given them. Matter of fact, they were involved in so much sin that Paul said, I don't have time to write it all down. I'll deal with it when I see you. And so Paul, the writer of Hebrews here, Peter, James, they all give the same warning. And so here we pick it up in Hebrews 3:12. He says, beware, brethren, lest there be any of you, in any of you, an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called day, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is today, while it is said, today you will hear my voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion. Now the word harden is used here a couple times. It was used in the verse last week we talked about. It's from the Greek word sklero, means to dry up. Now let's start with the first word, beware. The beware is from the Greek word blepo. It literally means look out or watch. Sometimes in some of the verb tenses is used for behold. You see behold in the scriptures in the New Testament. That's this word. Behold, watch out, look out. Why? Because they're spiritual pitfalls. And Paul told the Philippians, for example, he says, you need to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, let me stop here a minute. It doesn't mean you work for your salvation, because we know salvation is by grace alone, right? It's not by works. But he says, if they're not the evidence of salvation, then is there really salvation? That's what he's talking about. So he says, and matter of fact, Peter made the statement, 2 Peter 1:10, he says, make sure your election's certain. In other words, just don't be a pretender, right? Don't be someone who is coming and takes on kind of a Christian facade and a Christian look, but you really do not know Christ. And we have this warning. It's a lot easier to talk about, man, this guy's really saved. I mean, he knows the Lord. He witnesses for the Lord. He stands up, he's ridiculed, and this person over here, he's definitely not saved. But this in-between where the guy looks like he's saved, but he might not be. So you have two categories there. One category is you have the carnal Christian, 1 Corinthians 3, where he's saved, but he sure doesn't act like it, right? He surely has problems. The other level is the guy who pretends to be saved, does all the Christian things, but really it's not. I'm going to talk about that. We'd rather have it be pretty clear cut, right? I mean, it'd be nice. Matter of fact, that's why Paul ended up saying, well, the Lord knows who's his own, right? He knows who belongs to him. And by the way, we can't judge someone else's salvation. Remember, Paul was fooled with Demas. Demas, my fellow laborer and fellow prisoner in chains, then at the very end in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, he says, Demas, having loved this present world, has left me. And one of the last things he mentions in this litany that you have over in 2 Corinthians 11, where he goes through that he was beaten with rods, he was scourged, behind the day in the sea, he says, and besides all that, false brethren. Here are the church, and false brethren, which he mentions, of course, again in 2 Timothy 4 with Alexander the Coppersmith and Philogenes and Philoeus, and he says, may the Lord heap on their head the damage you've done to the gospel. It's important to be aware of our spiritual state. Not an aspect of constantly questioning our salvation, but am I showing the evidence of salvation, right? Am I showing by my attitude, by my speech, by my works, that I love Jesus Christ? I'm not talking about busyness. I'm talking about the fact that everything I do is centered around the Lord Jesus Christ, or centered on. And we have to be constantly on guard and watch. We have several places in Scripture that talks about make sure that you're on guard, that you watch out, that you guard your salvation. That is the fact that you guard your testimony, your reputation. Now, in the book of Hebrews, we're dealing with something different than we were in Corinthians. And in Hebrews, we're dealing with these are converted Jews, but who won't let go of the law. And so, in other words, they want to do both. They want to keep the law and keep all the feast days and keep the Sabbath day holy and all these things and also be a Christian. And Paul says, or the writer of Hebrews says, don't you know that Christ came, you could leave the elementary things, the rudimentary things of Christ and move on to full Christianity? Because the danger was that you have to be saved. And that was a controversy in the Council of Jerusalem, is that you need Jesus and Moses. No, it doesn't work that way. You're saved through Christ and him what? Alone, right? No, nothing else. It's by grace in Jesus Christ. And so they're trying to hold on to both. And by the way, we have modern Jews today. Not talking about the Messianic Jews, I'm talking about legalists who say, boy, you can be saved, but you also have to keep all these rules. Well, it doesn't say that in scriptures. It says, you know, we have freedom in Christ, freedom to do what is right. And so he was concerned. And why was he concerned? Because what we have in 1 John 2:19, it says, those who have left us undoubtedly were never with us. Of course, if they'd been with us, they would have remained with us unto this day. In other words, you have a group, a large group of Christians who says you can lose your salvation. You don't find that in Scripture, but you have to be saved to begin with. He said, those who left us never were saved. Matter of fact, that's what the writer of Hebrews is going to give as one of the most potent warnings in the Bible in Hebrews chapter 6. It said, those who have tasted of the Holy Spirit and haven't turned around and left, it's impossible for them to come back. In other words, that they've rejected the gospel. In other words, there are a lot of people, if you will, test out church. They'll come, they'll be a part, it seems like they received Christ, everything else. Then after a while, they just fade away, and I can just think in my mind of many who've come through this little church and it seemed to be excited, right? The gospel at first, but then all of a sudden you don't see him anymore. And only the Lord knows. I can't judge that. But those who left never were for us, according to John. Now, we have many false conversions down through history. Unfortunately, many have come to Christ as a whim or to fit in or sound like a good idea at the time, but were never truly converted. And by the way, coming to Christ is an exciting thing. But after a while, living a Christian life's hard work. You're going against the tide, aren't you? You're going against what the world wants you to do. You're going against the morals that the world holds, which is immorality. And there's several examples of the scripture that, for example, the parable of the soils. You have the seed falling down the four types of ground, remember? The one type of ground was the hard path, which has a hard heart. They're not going to receive Christ. But three fall down into soil, which they begin to take root. But one type of soil was thorny soil, where you have thorns come up and choke, and the cares of the world choke this person off, and they die. They were never saved. Now, it looked like they started coming up, right? It looked like there was fruit there going to become on this thing. It comes up real fast, and then it's gone. The second type is a stony ground. They come up, and there's no depth. They come up real fast. You see this as you drive down the highway as you go into to me, it's amazing when you go through, for example, Sidling Hill and the cutaway, and you got these little trees and stuff trying to hang off of this rock and stuff like that, but there's no depth there. So it's eventually doomed, and it says, and then the sun comes out, it dries it out, and it kills it. It came up fast. You say, wow, this is going to be great. It didn't work. And the only soil that worked was a good soil where the plant not only grew, but it bore fruit 30 and 60 and 100 fold. But if I go out there and I look at some of these plants grow, and I'm thinking all of them are good, but they're not. You know, the Lord also gave a parable about, you know, that some enemy had come and planted tares in the midst of the wheat. And the angels came and said, should we tear it up? I said, no, unless you tear up some of the wheat, because before you see the fruit, a tare and a wheat look very similar. And so in the midst of the church, you have some who weren't saved and tends to drag the church down. And what 1 Thessalonians 5 talks about quenching the spirit. You have the parable, John, that you read, the virgins. Well, all 10 look like they're part of the party, right? All 10 of the virgins were part of the party. They all had their lamps. They were all dressed in properly and everything else. But 5 did not prepare for the Lord's coming. They weren't actually saved. They were invited, but many are called, but few are chosen. And those 5 weren't allowed in. You have the parable of the man who shows up to the wedding, but he didn't have wedding clothes on. The wedding clothes was provided by the host of the wedding. They didn't have a proper wedding. So he was kicked out into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth because of the fact that he's trying to get in a different way. If you try to get into heaven any other way but Jesus Christ, you're not going to make it. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. You have the 7 men of Sceva who did many works in his name. He said, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. I never knew you. And so the 7 men of Sceva, they were casting out demons. And they said to the demon, says, in the name of Jesus, who Paul preached. And the demon says, I know Jesus. I know Paul. Who are you? And they turned around and tore him up. And so we see this. As a matter of fact, John 15 probably illustrates it best, where it says, Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. But he says at the end it's going to be false branches. Now, for a while we grew grapes. They weren't great grapes. Although the Japanese beetle loved them. I mean, so... But there's these things called sucker branches. They won't bear any fruit. And these sucker branches come out, and all it does is sap the vine of its energy. So you have to cut it off. Well, that's exactly what Jesus says. He says it's going up, and at the end, it's going to be some that didn't bear any fruit. They're cut off, they're stacked up, and they're burned. because they weren't true branches. They're right there. They said, well, but they were on the vine. No, all they did was taken away the resources of the vine. They were a hindrance. Don't you think Satan is going to put his best workers inside of the church as hindrances? And so again, in Hebrews chapter 6, those who have tasted of the Holy Spirit haven't turned around and left. It's impossible for them to come back. They weren't partakers. They were just tasters. So many have a comfortable familiarity with the church and Christians, but it's not truly saved. Matter of fact, it's interesting. One of my professors is with the Lord, Dr. Mulholland, over here at the Capital Bible Seminary. Boy, his class in Revelation was something else, but that's another story. He said when he was in seminary, he had a men's Sunday school class. And one of the statements he made in Sunday school class, well, we don't come to church to make business contacts. That's not why we're here. Well, the next week, the pastor called him in, and apparently the men in the class complained that he made that statement, and he no longer was teaching the men's Sunday school class. And it says, I guess they did come to church to make business contacts. You know, there's a lot of saying, and I'm not saying it's generally true, a lot of saying that in the South they grow the church a mile wide and an inch deep. And as a lot of people go to church, because it's a cultural thing to do. Matter of fact, when I took evangelism training, Evangelism Explosion down in North Carolina, every door you knocked, I'm on the roll of this church. I hadn't been here for 30 years, but I'm on the roll over here. You're not going to get to heaven on squatter's rights or because you signed something. I remember my wife and I were, talking to, I think it was a travel agent, and she said, oh, you baptized me 13 years ago. I said, really? He said, yeah. And she looked in the file and said, yeah, here's my baptism certificate. I said, well, have you been to church since? No. You read your Bible? Still holding faith? Well, that doesn't matter. That, you're not going to go up and say, see, Pastor Lowther signed my baptism. I get in. This is my ticket. No, it doesn't work that way. You have to have a vibrant, ongoing, dynamic, eternal relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so that's what Paul is getting, or the writer of Hebrews is getting. I keep calling it Paul because it sure sounds like Paul. And so there's a familiarity, but they enjoy the services. Matter of fact, that's what happened in the Seeker Sensitive Service. Boy, they made it entertaining. But then when they start getting down to discipleship, the people left. I asked one of these seeker-sensitive guys, I said, well, how do you switch them from coming for the entertainment to being a disciple of Christ? He said, well, we haven't figured out a way to do that. I said, you're not going to figure out a way because you're going to keep them with what you gain them with. And so Christianity is not built around a social structure. Although we enjoy one another's company, it's built around Jesus Christ and obedience to Him. Okay? And so we come to the point where we have to understand that people come to be with God's people for any other reason but to serve Jesus Christ. They're not part of the body. And by the way, that's going to be harder and harder to do as the persecution gets more and more, because that'll weed a lot of people out. Because the church, the American church has had it good for a long time. Really have. We're not concerned someone's going to come in here and start shooting and the rest of stuff, but at some point that might not be the case. You know, like you have in Nigeria, like you have in China, like you have in Eritrea, like you have even in Egypt here recently. And so Hebrews, the author of Hebrews was concerned that the Jewish believers' unwillingness to change indicated that they actually were lacking a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, that was called syncretism. Okay, I'm going to serve God, but I'm also going to serve these idols. Well, no. If God's God, serve him, Elijah said, but if Baal's God, serve him. But you can't do what? You can't do both. Matter of fact, Jesus said you can't serve what? You can't serve two masters. You'll love the one, hate the other. He says, so don't harden your heart. Don't have your heart dried up. Don't have it so that it can't be affected by the gospel of Jesus Christ. People can deceive themselves thinking they're truly saved, but they're not. There's no dynamic relationship there. Now, I want you to notice a big if here. In the Greek, the eon, big if. If we hear the Lord's voice and heed him, we are his. And our hearts does not rebel against him. And we love to assemble with God's people. I remember I preached a funeral one time. I was asked to preach, and from a different church. So I was preaching the sermon, and I listed some of these characteristics of what a Christian is. Not only do they love the Lord, they love the Word of God, right? They love to be with God's people. They don't fix the assembly. They love to serve him, love to be a witness, and they were getting more and more uncomfortable, I can tell. So what I did was I kept preaching. And so because it's a horrible thing to be able to stand in front of a people and not give them the truth. You said, this is what a Christian is. This is the marks of it. This is the characteristics. They love the will of God. They love the gathering together of God's people. So it says, if we endure to the end, we're saved. Holding the beginning of your confidence to the end. In other words, you don't leave the faith. It's not saying that I have to hold on to salvation. If I'm saved, Christ will hold on to me. But it means if I'm not there at the end, I never was there at the beginning. A Christian is a Christian. You know, you don't say, you know, when you come up that, you know, you are a man or you're a woman, say, the world says, well, you can change your mind. No, I'm sorry. That's not the way it works. You're either a Christian or you're not, right? You're either in Christ or you're not. And so you have to decide, none of this in between. And of course, Christ said also in Luke chapter 9, he says, no man having put his hands to the plow, having looked back, is fit for the kingdom of God. So once you start the journey, you need to finish the journey, right? And as the songwriter says, that Jesus led me all the way. Matthew 24 has the same comment. He says, he who endures to the end will be saved. It doesn't mean that the fact that I'm the one holding on to salvation is up to me. No, the fact if I'm saved at the beginning, but also saved at the end, right? It's not that I'm in and out. It's not a revolving door. And so being a believer is not a passing fad, or it's a phase, or an experiment, or a cultural preference, or a social organization. A true believer endures in belief through doubts, through hardships, through challenges, through attacks, through threats, through trials, through temptations, through failures. He's a Christian no matter what. No matter what comes on him, for good or for bad, he's saved. He is that. Matter of fact, the very first thing that we are, being creations of God, is believers in Jesus Christ. Amen. So there are many who begin the walk toward salvation but get sidetracked. Or they begin to embrace a counterfeit belief system, one that fits their ideas and not what the Word of God teaches. And that's why many are called and few are chosen. That's why the path is straight and the gate is very narrow to get through. I'm going to end by saying this. Not all people who go to church are saved. Matter of fact, in all the churches throughout the world, a very small percentage are truly saved. And a very small percentage of those are truly spiritual. And it's not because the Lord doesn't love them. It's not because they don't have the opportunity. But if you have a hard heart coming in and you want Christ on your terms, it's not going to work. One evangelist said that man wants to write the contract and have God sign it. It doesn't work that way. God's the one that tells us what the standards are and what we're to do. And so genuine faith can be seen in people and experienced. You can tell if someone really loves the Lord, you can tell that, can't you? Someone really loves the Lord. I mean, it's not fake, it's genuine, it endures. You can tell that. So we need to, even though we're not in the same position as the Jews here, because we're not holding to the law, but you can be holding to something else, we need to make sure that our election's certain and to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Because he who knows the Lord should say so. And he who loves the Lord will endure till the end. Amen. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the powerful warning that the writer of Hebrews gives us, that we need to go forth without wavering and doubt, without double-mindedness, that those who believe in Christ believe so to the very end. Lord, I pray for anyone who has come into this door or listening online, does not know Jesus Christ. Perhaps they have a cultural Christianity, but not a true Christianity. They're not in Christ. This will be the day of salvation, Lord. That your name might be glorified in all things, Lord. Your will be done as the Holy Spirit works through Jesus Christ. Amen.